Open up your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. The goal here is to get through two chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14, all having to do with leprosy. And as we go through this study, I'm going to ask that you apply this both naturally and spiritually. This is a twofold study, naturally and spiritually. But first, let's review some of the things that Pastor Kevin taught on last week, which was we talked about animals, and which animals you could eat and which animals you couldn't. If an animal had a divided hoof and chews the cud, it was permissible. There was a long, long list of animals that are forbidden to eat. Insects, that was also in the study. A grasshopper, a locust, a cricket, you know, the four-legged animals that jump, those were permissible to eat. Basically anything else is forbidden. And then we talked about unclean animals and mainly how it has to do with carcasses and different things like that. And so it's important to know that, you know, we can look at this in hindsight, and Pastor Kevin has explained this at length, is that these were really done for sanitary reasons, reasons that they just really wouldn't have quite understood at the time, not having the full knowledge of bacteria and disease and defilement and things like that. So we can kind of look at that now in hindsight and say, yep, the Lord was protecting them. These laws were made for their own good, even though they didn't understand. And it's also a way that we can share with unbelievers, because I think that a lot of us have had those conversations with unbelievers where they like to put the Bible in a box and they'll say, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, the Bible says this. Well, you know, what do you have to say about that? And you can give them a good answer. You know, you have an answer for your faith. You can explain these things and reason with them. And hopefully that helps. And then we also talked about childbirth. We ended the study with childbirth. Twofold, the sanitary purposes that had to do with childbirth itself, when a woman birthed either a male or a female, son or daughter. And then the ritual in childbirth, making sure that you gave your offerings to the offerings that were made for the child, also the atonements that were made for the mother and different things like that. All of this part of the law. And now we're going to get into leprosy, also very detailed, extremely detailed, so much so that there will be sections of this chapter 13 and 14 that we won't go over because it's just total repetition. But verses 1 through 46 describes the details of leprosy and the skin of the human body. The bright spots on the skin, the scabs on the skin, the swelling on the skin, the hair on the skin, the head, on your shoulders, and so on. So it really just goes into great, great, great detail regarding leprosy. And the other interesting thing is these verses talk about how a priest examines the leprous person and the measures that this priest takes to quarantine and isolate the leprous person, the one that is unclean. And so, in a lot of ways, the priest, you know, he's a medical examiner. So just like the unclean animals, this is all done in a natural way. Quarantine was instituted to keep the camp, the population safe. So you took the sick people, you took the unclean people, you took the diseased people, you took the ones that were infectious, and you took them outside the camp so that they couldn't defile the camp. Now, this is something that the CDC forgot the last couple of years. That's a very sensible measure, is it not? It's kind of a no-brainer, something that we've always done. And for some reason, they forgot that this was something that is sensible, reasonable, effective, and it's just what we do because we have tons of history behind it. Examination by the priest was done because he cares deeply about both the leper and the camp. Okay, so this is why all these examinations are taking place. This is why these isolations are taking place. The quarantines are taking place. The priest is a steward of God. He's there to make sure that the camp is safe, to make sure that they're ministered to make sure that things are orderly. And he does this because he cares and loves the children of Israel. So chapter 13, this whole chapter is really the recognition of leprosy, the recognition of sin and uncleanness, if we are to apply it spiritually, and the measures needed for us to remove it from our own sinful lives. Okay? So again, natural and spiritual. But chapter 14, that's the good chapter. That's where we get to talk about cleansing and restoration. So let's get through 13, and then we get to sing our praises in chapter 14. So Leviticus chapter 13, I hope everybody's there, opened up to it. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priests." Which are who? Who are the two sons? Nope, not Nadab and Abihu. Eleazar and Ithamar. Because remember, Nadab and Abihu, they got smoked. They're done. That was just a little pop question for you guys paying attention from a couple of studies ago. When a person was unclean, in this case leprosy, again, they were to stay away from anyone else in the camp, not to infect others. The only person that they were allowed to make contact with was the high priest. That's who they were allowed to make contact with. Likewise, we who are infected with sin, we should not seek remedy, refuge, examination, or anything else other than Jesus, our high priest. That's where we go. That's who we come in contact with. We don't go to the world. We don't go to any other thing other than Jesus, our high priest, when we need remedy, refuge, examination, and anything else. Verse 3, "The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." So who makes the call? The priest. No one else. He's the one that holds fast to the standard of the law. "But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days." Remember, that's a number of completion. "And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, and indeed if the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes, and he shall be clean." So here we have, you guys, a series of examinations made by the priest, ensuring, being very, very careful, ensuring that this spot on the skin is not leprosy. Notice how careful the priest is in all of this during this time, and how long it actually takes. Okay, that's the main point I want you to take away from that, is how careful the priest is in all of this, as prescribed by the law. You can't be too careful, everyone, when you're regarding and examining the potential sin in your life. And we should always be examining ourselves, always, daily examination of ourselves and what we're doing with our lives and how we're conducting ourselves and how we are with other people around us and the things that come out of our mouth. All of that should be under constant examination. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So there's actually a further examination. This is how careful all of this is. So just when you thought that you were out of the woods with the potential sin in your life, you realize that it's turned into full-blown sin. That's what this careful examination is all about. Jesus is continually examining our hearts and minds, everyone. Understand that. Put that check in our minds. We're always under constant examination. And what does he do? He nourishes and waters what is his, and he cuts out what isn't. That's the Holy Spirit working through our lives, sanctifying us, nourishing and watering the things that are godly, the things that are of him, and cutting out all the things that are not. And I'm glad that he does that. Now, this is where we're going to skip, because verses 9 through 39, a whole 30 verses here, is a repetition of the various ways the leprosy can be diagnosed on the skin. And again, one thing I would say is just as you read through that, because I know you guys are going to go home and read this on your own. I know you're going to do that. And when you do that, just remember, just keep in mind how careful the priest is during all this. So let's pick it up in verse 40. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He who said, I knew we'd get some laughs here. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. All right, all of us suffering. And look, I'm not too far behind you guys. So we're clean, all right? It's okay. But, verse 42 here, and if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish-white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, has the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, please, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And just imagine a person that has leprosy. They had colonies. They had leper colonies. But if by chance a person with leprosy, for whichever reason it may be, was to come into contact, well, let me rephrase that, was to come into proximity of a person who didn't have leprosy, a clean person, they had to shout that and scream that, unclean, unclean. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this, talking about Jesus here. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, you know how long it's been since that man had been touched? And he touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way And here's the kicker. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. That's exactly what we're reading here in the book of Leviticus right now. That's our study. Jesus is telling him, go be a testimony to the priest. And then you'll find out in other accounts that he didn't. But notice the difference between Jesus and the high priest of the former dispensation. Lots of difference here, okay? The high priest, all they did was examine. All they did was examine the leper spots to be healed. They didn't heal it themselves. They were just the examiner. Jesus, however, he examines the skin. Jesus examines the heart. Jesus takes care of the natural. Jesus takes care of the spiritual also. He can heal both natural and spiritual instantly and immediately. He touched that man, okay? And when that leper came to Jesus, he didn't say, unclean, unclean. He wasn't shouting that when he came to God incarnate. He wasn't shouting that when he came to the great healer, okay? He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean, Jesus. And isn't that what every single one of us should do if we are found in sin, if we have something unclean about our lives? Jesus, if you are willing, please cleanse me. And we know that he is willing, just like he was with this leper here. I am willing. Be cleansed. It's a beautiful thing. So back to Leviticus 13:47. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague, and it shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days. And he shall examine the plague on the 7th day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is an active leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof or in wool or in linen. Say that 5 times real fast. Or anything of leather. For it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. So it's important to note here that we're talking about garments. And the other couple of things that fall into this category, not just leprosy, is mold or fungus. Okay, that's applied here. But many of the same rules apply for garments as does the skin. Careful examination. Okay, the priest does a careful examination. Isolation of the garment, that happens just like the skin and so on. The difference here, though, would be instead of living your life out in a leper colony, you just burn the garment. So it's a lot easier, right? You burn the garment and you burn it in fire. You destroy the garment. Completely take it out of your life. And likewise, sometimes we have to do that with some of our material items. If anything that we have materially that we have around the house that we engage in, that we consume, sometimes those things need to be burned through the fire also. If it's a weight, if it's a snare, if it's causing sin in any of our lives, if we have any habits, ideologies, anything in our life that consumes too much of our time and it turns out to be ungodly, we should be passing those things through the fire to see whether they hold up or to see whether they burn up. And that just kind of goes along with that constant examination that we have in our lives every day. And sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes it escapes. And then something happens in our life and we say, I need to examine this. I need to pass this through the fire to see if it holds up or burns up. You know, and chances are, if you're questioning it, and if you need to, chances are it's going to burn up. And so, don't be afraid to do that in your life, you guys. Don't be afraid to take these things, whether it's material items, or whether it's your habits, whether it's your ideologies, or the things that consume so much of your time, pass them through the fire and see what happens with them if you have any question about it. So the rest of this chapter, chapter 13, very repetitious. So we're going to move on right to Leviticus 14. But again, I know you guys are going to read. Chapter 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. So this is where the praises come. He shall be brought to the priest. So just like what we read in Mark, when Jesus healed the leper and told him to go to the priest and offer for your cleansing the things that Moses commanded, right? Verse 3, and the priest shall go out of the camp. Why is he going out of the camp? Because that's where the leper is, right? And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed. And I just want to remind everybody, the high priest then, in that dispensation, they are no healer, just an examiner. That's it. Okay? Jesus heals. Jesus heals. And it's actually Jesus that's healing in this dispensation too, by the way. But not the mortal high priest. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. So could the symbology here be made any more clear? Clean birds for a sacrifice, an animal without blemish. It's clean. All right. Perhaps the cross that our Savior died on was made of cedar. Nonetheless, it was certainly made out of wood. A scarlet thread, absolutely symbolic of our Savior's blood that was poured out for the sins of you and I. Let's not forget the scarlet cord that Rahab hung from her window as a symbol for protection. And hyssop. Hyssop was used to spread... Just to remind you guys, hyssop was used to spread the lamb's blood over the doorposts to protect from the angel of death, so that they would, so that the angel of death would pass over, the first Passover. You don't have to go there, but in David's psalm, he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Cleanse me with hyssop." And of course, it was also used at the crucifixion of our Savior. When the sour wine was put on the hyssop, his thirst was quenched, where he then proclaimed, "It is finished. It is finished." Hyssop is a cleansing herb. As we read on, you'll see that it was used to clean the mold out of a house. All right, lots of great qualities to this thing. Hyssop. Verse 5, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And so when you read running water, you can just read living water. Okay? Running water is indeed living water. As for the living bird, so check this out. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Beautiful, beautiful picture of the cross here, you guys. The bird that died, all the while being purified with living water, which is to say the Holy Spirit, has its blood poured out. Okay? Then the living bird, the bird that defeats death even, and then is set free even, this bird is dipped along with the wood, cedar, and hyssop into the blood, and is then sprinkled on the man of sin, okay? The person who is unclean, the person who is defiled by sin. Beautiful picture of the cross. Beautiful picture of how the blood of Jesus cleanses us. beautiful picture of how he died, the bird that died, how Jesus died, how the Holy Spirit raised him up again, the bird that got let free, defeating death, freedom. The cross is there. The hyssop is there. The running water is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Everything is there. I mean, just major, major symbology here. And it's really, really beautiful. By His blood, we are cleansed. You cannot be over emphatic about that. And it is something that is being lost in the church today. The blood of Jesus Christ. We sing it in our old hymns. If you haven't noticed, the newer worship songs, you know, they lose that. They lose the blood of Jesus. And let's not do that as a fellowship here. It's my encouragement to every single one of you to really always understand the importance and the necessity of the blood of Jesus. And don't let anyone ever tell you different. He who is to be, verse 8, he is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp. I mean, you could, even that's just amazing. He gets to come into the camp, you guys. And shall stay outside his tent 7 days, but on the seventh day he shall shave all the hairs off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. Now granted, this guy's gonna look pretty crazy, you know, with all this, I mean, have you ever seen anybody with all their hair, eyebrows, beard, mustache, head, every piece of hair on their body shaved off? They look kind of weird, especially when the eyebrows are shaved off. But all that aside, this is the picture of the new man, okay? This is the picture of the man that's been, man or woman, that's been cleansed, okay? Cleansed and new in the Spirit, born again even. Verse 10, and on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the holy place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. On our Thursday men's group that we have during the day, we're trying to really go through all these offerings and sacrifices, you know, the law here. And because, you know, you hear, you know, grain offering, you know, sin offering, burnt offering, wave offering, heave offering, drink offering. I mean, all these offerings. I mean, you just really get lost in the weeds with all this stuff. So last week we really tried to, you know, bring it in and simplify things and try to make it all make sense, you know. And I think, you know, it was kind of rough in the beginning of the of the study, but I think we made some good headway. And if you guys want to show up this Thursday, we're going to finish it. But because I know I need to simplify that stuff in my own mind, you know, all of this stuff, because you just get lost in it, you know. And what I've learned about Scripture, when you study Scripture and you get lost in things, you know, you just really take the time to understand what it all means, and there's always a way to simplify these things in your own mind so that you can remember them and understand them so much better. So now here's where the cleansing ritual becomes very distinct. The same procedure to present the leper as cleansed is the same procedure as when the high priest gets consecrated, okay, unto the Lord. So you don't have to go there, but Exodus 29:20 reads this. And this is talking about the high priest and his sons being consecrated unto the Lord. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. Okay? That's for the high priest and his sons. Now regarding the leper, verse 14, it says this: the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. You guys, from the high priest all the way to the leper, and everyone in between, we all must be consecrated and cleansed by the blood. Okay? That's what it's absolutely amazing. It must have been such a humbling thing for a priest to be performing this ritual with the blood on the ear, the thumb, and the toe, knowing that this is exactly what he had to do to get consecrated. It's like, man, I'm no better than you. You need the blood just like I do. I need the blood just like you do. Okay, and everyone in between. That's what I want you guys to take away from this. And notice it says it was all done on the right side. You know, the right ear, the right thumb, the right toe. Who sits down at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. And so if we are to, you know, somewhat spiritualize this, you know, our ears are sanctified to receive the hearing of the Word of God. There's the ear. Our hands are sanctified to be holy and in service to the Lord. There's the thumb. And our feet are sanctified to walk with Him who saved us. We are instructed to what? Shod our feet with the gospel of peace. All right? Verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. So the same in which what was done with the blood is done with the oil. And if you don't know it, you should know it. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in every which way. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us and guides us. Okay? So the blood sanctifies us to hear the Word of God, to stay in worship to Him and service to Him with our hands, to walk with Him. And the oil, the Holy Spirit, helps us and guides us as we hear the Word of God, as we interpret the Word of God, as we're in service to Him and worship Him with our hands, and as we walk with Him. Okay, the Holy Spirit was sent to us as a helper to help us and to guide us in all these things. Don't let the Holy Spirit become a distant person in your life. I know that all of us early in our walk, that tends to be the case. We really magnify Jesus. We really revere the Father. But the Holy Spirit usually seems to take a back seat in our walk. In fact, it's only, he can sit there for a long time because we just don't give any attention to Him. Okay? And we don't want to do that. We want to miss that boat. As soon as you can, prioritize the Holy Spirit in your life. Make Him just as real and as much as a priority as Jesus and God the Father. And let this beautiful Trinity come alive in your own heart and mind, not neglecting any of the three. That is absolutely my encouragement to you. Because when the Holy Spirit becomes real and effective in your life, it's powerful. It's a real thing. It's really what gives you the fuel in your life. You know, it's really hard to explain. But that's what it is. So instead of staring at things from a distance, you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you and working through you. Verse 19, then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waived, to make atonement for him, one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And verses 24 through 32 are definitely a repeat. You can read them. And then verses 33 through 57 are all regarding the house with mold. Okay, and so it's all the same measures. It's just really repetitious of what we've already read. It's just, you know, insert house and mold instead of what the things that we've already went. But when you do go through it, again, notice the repeated cleansing that has to go through. Notice the repeated examination that has to take place, and how careful the examination is, and how long this examination takes. And then you're also going to see the birds and the wood and the hyssop and the scarlet in these passages also. But let's do end with verse 54 here. Or starting in verse 54. This is the law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Okay, so natural, spiritual. That's the applications that we can make here. Jesus heals us from both. Jesus heals us from natural things, like leprosy, and he heals us from our spiritual demise, which leprosy is symbolic of us being unclean in the presence of God until or unless we come to him. And I just pray that everyone here has come to him fully. And I do believe so, because it's usually the Wednesday night crowd, which is the faithful. So let's keep Jesus on our hearts and minds. Let's keep Jesus on our lips. Let's praise God for all of his blessings. Let's be thankful to Jesus for all the things that we talked about during announcements. You know, all these things that are going on in our lives, all these healings that are taking place, and the way that the people are being blessed. You know, let's make sure that we give credit where credit is due, and all credit goes to Jesus. And then lastly, please, do your best to make sure that you are intimate with the Holy Spirit in each of your lives. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is like no other, and it really, really strengthens your walk with him. Strengthens it. Father, we thank you so much. I thank you so much, Lord, for saving me. I thank you so much for the blood that you spilt. I thank you so much for the blood that cleanses us. I thank you so much for the life that is found in your blood. Jesus, just like the symbology of the birds and the wood and the hyssop and the scarlet, you went to the cross for us, Lord. You went to a cross for a people who would mostly reject you. But you loved us so much that you went anyway. So much so that only a narrow gate would be open, and only some of us, very few, relatively speaking, would enter into that gate. But we do hold on to the key of life, Jesus, which is you. We do hold on to you. We cling to you, just as Ruth did. We love you so much. And daily, Lord, we want to kneel down at the foot of your cross. Daily, we want you to examine our lives. Daily, we want to pass all of the things that take up our time and our ideologies and our habits, and pass them through the fire, Lord, to see what stays and to see what gets burned up. And we only want to be used for you. And we say this in your holy name. Amen.
Quick question. If the bald man is clean, what do we do with Terry Nelson?
What she's saying, Terry, is you got to start losing. I don't know. Look at the forehead, Jane. Look at the forehead there. He might pass.
You know, it's before we do the closing song, it's been brought to our attention that there's a birthday in the house. Terry, you trying to keep things from us here? And, huh? Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Every day of the year, may your Savior be near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. The best that you've ever had. Are you 29 times 3? Huh? Let's close with Be the Center.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus.
We were all once lepers, unclean, but we came to the one who can cleanse us, the only one who can, and he cleansed us by his blood. And now we are made new, clean, and we can fly off. Our death has been defeated, and we can have the freedom just like that bird does that gets let free during that ritual. You know, it's amazing symbology, and I'm so very thankful to be fellowshipping with all of you. It's a sweet fellowship, and very, very grateful for it. And so, have a peaceful week. Walk with him. Get to know the Holy Spirit better this week. See you guys next time.